B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankrolls. Who you got?
It's Over Under 985. We are doing our NHL preview. I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifshatz. We will have our picks today, of course. Last year, Dan won the Stanley Cup.
That's right.
Himself.
Picked the Blues. The only one.
The Blues. I had the Bruins, so I lost on that one. So we'll move on from that. It's a new year.
Quickly.
It's here fast. So we have an insider. Joining us on the show today, actually our first guest ever on Over Under 98.5, the podcast. His name is Ty Anderson. He does work in Boston for 98.5thesportshub.com. I have seen him before on the NHL Network as well. What else do you do, Ty? I'm sure people have seen you all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all over the map, I guess. But yeah, NHL Network and 98.5, those are the two places where I am most frequently seen or heard. This is crazy. Didn't know you guys have never had a guest before, so a lot of pressure on me now. Now I kind of want to leave, if that's okay.
No, I mean, no, you're good. You're good. you're fine. The reason that we have you is because sometimes I think that NHL betting, Ty, especially, is more niche, and I think there's a lot of guys who like to play the overs, the first period overs, and the good teams, and so, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who just kind of, it's very square in terms of the actual
square
betting percentages.
Means bet the favorite,
yeah,
and not have any insight.
Yeah, so people just, you know, Tampa, Boston, Washington. I mean, I think Boston got just a crap load of the bet in the Stanley Cup last year just because they're Boston and it's not St. Louis. You know, no one knows anything about the Blues, you know, because it's not a big media market and they're not, you know, sold Charlie McAvoy and Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. So, you know, they're kind of, because of that, you know, bettors kind of gravitate towards the Washington Capitals and the, you know, the Nashville Predators, and not even so much, but like the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, Toronto was the favorite heading into the season last year.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, and that's what we mean by square. People sometimes just take whoever the favorite is. But let's get into it. All right. And we have Ty here because he knows more about hockey than all of us.
Yeah.
But we know about gambling hockey. Dan does it a lot. I like to do first periods. It's something I like. What I like to do is look at the goaltenders, and is there going to be two goals or less in that first period? So it's 1.5 normally. I like to take the under a lot. It hits more than it doesn't. But that's something I like to do. But there's a lot of stuff we want to get into today. A ton of NHL odds. Obviously, we have the regular season awards, the Hart Trophy, which we'll get to, the Art Ross Trophy, the Calder, Jack Adams, all that. And we have a ton of win totals as well. But first and foremost, can we take anything away from last year? Meaning, like, the Bruins went to the finals. The Blues went to the finals. We know what the Blues did earlier in the season, and the Bruins came back from a disappointing season the year ago. We've now had how many different champions over the last couple of years? Like, do we wipe everything, wipe the slate clean, and this year now there's a new favorite or a slightly new? Like, the way that the Colorado Avalanche finished last year, I like them this year, but is that too much hype? So I guess I ask you, should we forget about what we saw last year and just completely make it a brand new season?
I mean, look at I was doing my season previews today and kind of looking through and what teams, and I kept landing on the same teams I had last year. I still love Vegas. I still love San Jose, Washington. You got two sort of volatile divisions, I think. You know, the Pacific Division and the Metropolitan in the East. I think that those divisions, I look at those teams, and once you get beyond, I think, one or two, I would even say just one in the Metro, it's kind of like a total toss-up. You know, it's very different than what I was used to sort of in years past here. I see 4 to 5 different teams that could finish between 2 and 6 in their division. So how that plays out, you know, remains to be seen. But I still like some of the teams that we all liked a year ago. You know, I still like Boston and Tampa. I still like Toronto. Out west, I like I said, I love Vegas and San Jose. Calgary should be in the mix as well. But it really is sort of those middle teams, those teams that can disrupt everything, like St. Louis a year ago. No one thought they would be where they were. And you know, lo and behold, they actually win the Stanley Cup. So at the top, I still like what I see. But in the middle, you have a lot of hype machines. Toronto, are they going to be better? Colorado, are they going to be better? I think Colorado is going to be a wagon this year. So I'm with you with the hype train. I am buying in on that what that team can do this season.
And I only say that, Dan, just because how many times do we look at it and say, holy shit, like the Colorado has won 7 in a row now, 8 in a row, and somehow they snuck through? Made it to the playoffs. So, I mean, like, I look at those type of teams as, like, teams you want to back when it comes to betting.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, the Jackets went on that ridiculous streak. I think it was, like, 20 in a row, something ridiculous. I don't know if you remember that, but the Jackets won just a ridiculous amount in a row, and bettors were loading up on them over and over and over, night after night. And it got to the point where, you know, obviously, you had to jump on the train. You couldn't miss out. And eventually they lost, obviously, and whatever. But they were so hot. Sometimes in this sport especially, riding the hot team really does work. I mean, it's unlike, you know, riding a hot baseball team, you can get slowed down by a pitcher. You know, you get fucked by, you know, having, you
we
know.
Swear by
oh, yeah,
way.
We swear by
that.
It's okay. You know, you can get screwed by, you know, instead of Pedro Martinez pitching tonight, it's, you know, fucking, you know, whoever you want to throw out there, John Burkett. It's one of those sports where no matter how hot you are, you can always get doused by a cold pitcher or, you know, someone gets hurt, a rain out, whatever. Hockey, it just feels like once you got a hot goalie, and we saw this obviously in 2011, all the Bruins fans with Tim Thomas, you ride that team. And I feel that at least in the last couple of years, there have really been some streaks. I can't remember who it was last year. It might have been Colorado, honestly. I know Calgary had a streak last year, but there were streaks of like 10, 12 wins in a row, just racking them up. And you had to ride the streak. You couldn't go against that team. I also think, Ty, and one of the things that we'll definitely talk about is kind of the totals in hockey. And, you know, we've always basically, pretty much the total a couple of years ago was at 5.5. The general basic total was at 5.5 or 5. And now we're seeing 6.5, 6, you know, pretty much, you know, something like that. We're 5.5s are low. But, you know, there's maybe 1 or 2 5.5s a day. We're seeing 6, 6.5. I mean, the Toronto total tonight, 6.5 versus the Senators. We're seeing 5.5 in other games like Washington, St. Louis tonight. Again, we're recording on Wednesday, so obviously this will be out Wednesday night, so you guys can listen. Obviously, those games are probably over. But the fact is that, you know, one of the other things that we talked about last year with all the pads getting smaller, more goals. I mean, do you expect the goals to just continue to increase? Because one of the things I took advantage of really early last year was people got too hyped about the goals and the totals were too high. And I actually took a lot of unders. And then when kind of once we got into about the middle part of the season, that's when you started hammering the overs because everything kind of started really getting settled out. You knew which team was an over team. You knew which team was an under team.
Yeah, and the goals is that's a good question because I think that the teams, you're seeing the league as a whole really sort of make slight little tweaks to increase scoring. I think one of those is this year, teams get to pick which side that they want the offensive zone faceoff to be in. And teams will have set plays if they win that faceoff. That will lead to increased scoring. That leads to tendencies. You know, they have all these video coaches now who study the plays, you know, okay, where do we want to run this? How do we want to run this? This goalie tends to do this, so we can do that. So that will make a big difference, I think, in scoring, especially in terms of power play production for a lot of these teams, especially the great power play teams out there, like Boston, for example, especially if you have a great center. So I think that's going to lead to increased scoring. So I'm on the board with the goals. I really am. I think that you're going to see a lot more of them. And keep in mind, too, a lot of teams out there now, like, how many stud goalies are there? You know, it really does seem like a lot of teams go with the split.
How many would you say?
I would say maybe 5 or 6. And then I go to that next tier where I'm like, okay, these guys could either give up 1 or 2 or give up 4 or 5.
What's the tier? Who's at the top?
You have to put Vasilevsky
right
up there.
He's the top.
Vasilevsky. And then
I'm waiting to hear Rask's name, but I'm just curious.
No. He doesn't crack the top five for me.
There we go.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously have Carey Price.
I think we all agree with that, though. Tuca's not a top five.
Yeah, oh yeah, no,
and
definitely.
Maybe, he can be, but he's not consistent enough. Yep. That's
and
the problem.
Maybe you wanted to see that in a game seven, which is, for me, that's why I don't – I put money on the Bruins last year and got burned. They didn't show up in a game seven. And, like, to me this year, do I want to go back to the well with Tampa Bay? Like, I look at everything. Every single statistic in betting this year, somehow you see one of those people from Tampa Bay at the top, like Tavares right now. And I do want to get into total goals because we're just happen to be on the topic here. But you mentioned, like, five good goalies. Maybe that's why maybe overs should hit. And there is this thing called the Grand Salami, which is total goals of the night. I might keep an eye on that this year, Dan.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, and it's something that definitely happens. But, I mean, really, goalies. I mean, Bobrovsky, Rinna. Yep. You know, Vasilevsky, I don't know what you consider Price still elite. Is Ben Bishop count as elite? I don't hope he.
Holtby's dipped for like two straight years now. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about him.
Yeah.
So does Bennington bounce back? And
I stay away from Bennington. I think that I really do think teams are going to solve him this year. Okay. I do.
Well, we'll get into the Blues. I think the Blues are definitely an interesting topic. Yeah. So that's kind of basically what we're going to do today. We're gonna kind of go over every team, kind of talk about them quickly, and then kind of give their over under what we think. Then we're gonna go into divisional championships or divisional champions and conference championships. Who's our Stanley Cup?
Just to have some fun with it, let's play a little game here with Ty Anderson. Alex Ovechkin listed as the top goal scorer for this season, over under 47.5 goals.
That's. Man, they nailed these numbers. They like really make you.
I mean,
that's the whole point. I understand, but that's. I want to go over.
Okay,
I do.
How about Connor McDavid at 41.5?
That I would take the under. That team around him stinks.
John Tavares, 41.5.
He's got Mitch Marner, right? So I would take the over.
Any of these, Dan, that you're disagreeing with?
I don't know about the Tavares over. I think that that's going to be – there's a lot of firepower there. You're going to – but the other thing is that, like, you know, you're probably going to get a lot of power plays with that team, so there's probably a good chance for goals. Ovechkin's going to be an over for me. Ovechkin has cleared 50 goals in almost every year that he's played.
You're going to lock
that up, Dan? The only year that he struggled badly was the 2017 year.
It's true.
Other than that, he's had 62, 58, 60, 57, 37 was that down year, 50 and 52. 47 might be a little low, honestly.
We'll just knock out a couple more, and then we'll get to the good stuff here. Auston Matthews, 40.5, over-under.
Oof, that one. See, because this is why I'm leaning over with these Maple Leafs guys is that Kadri's off the power play. He's in Colorado now. He was a huge part of their power play. Mm. And Auston Matthews, he can score in front of the net. We've seen it before. So if they move him there, as unlikely as that may seem, I kind of like him there. So I would lean over there.
The question is, does he play enough games? Because he's been hurt the last couple of years, 62 and 68 games. If he gets to that 75 game threshold, you're right. That probably cashes. My worry about him is, does he stay healthy? Because he feels like a guy that likes to rest during the regular season.
Yeah, like he'll get his 30 goals and I think be happy with it.
Right. Ovechkin likes to play every game and be out there every time. Matthews already feels like the kind of guy who doesn't want to play 82. And I know he played 82 his rookie year, but ever since he's been, you know, he kind of checks out.
How about Kucherov?
What's the line?
40.5.
I go under there.
How about this one? David Pastrnak, 38.5 goals.
You know what? If he's healthy, he would have hit 50. If he were healthy last year, he would have hit 50, in my opinion. So I would go, assuming that he's healthy and doesn't fall out of whatever it was last year that happened to him.
Curb.
Yeah.
fall on a curb.
You go, I think you go over there.
Do you hear that, everybody? Ty Anderson says over. Well, he says over. 38.5. We'll see.
All right.
Pastrnak. And then just a couple more here.
All right.
Sidney Crosby, 36.5.
Under. I would go under there. But again, they lost Kessel, so do they need him to shoot the puck more now than he did in years past?
Yeah, I mean, losing Kessel's bad. And the fact was, he still scored 35 last year without Kessel. A couple years ago, scored 49. Crosby is 32, man. Like, he's getting older. So, I if they're relying on him for goal production past 35 goals, I think Pittsburgh probably is in trouble.
All right, moving on. We just wanted to throw a little teaser out there of what's going to be coming ahead here on Over Under 985. We're doing our NHL preview. We got Ty Anderson here. He's from 985thesportshub.com. What do you want to do next here, Dan?
I think we should start diving into the teams. We'll break it down by division.
All right, we got our team totals and our NHL look coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 98.5 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports league that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
It's Over Under 985. It's our NHL preview. Dan did a ton of NHL stuff last year. I'm a different kind of NHL bettor. You love the over-unders.
Well, I think it's not that I love over-unders, Joe. It's that totals are easier to predict out days in advance. So when Ty, just kind of to give you kind of like example we did last year, we would do the podcast on Thursdays, right? I would be projecting out the entire week of hockey and betting games every day. And literally a week out. And so what I try to explain to people is hard to project out a team a week, a week later, because I think goalies kind of could change money lines and everything. But totals, I don't usually, even the backups are like maybe a half goal difference. I'm not totally worried about totals. So it's a little bit easier for me to project out totals. I don't like usually giving out plays in the first week or so. I like to kind of get to know the teams a little bit. Same with college basketball, Joe. Same thing. We kind of waited a week or two. I did take a look at the games for Saturday. So I have some games for Saturday. I don't know if I'm going to give any PPs, but just to kind of talk about those, we'll project those up. But first, we should start kind of going back to, kind of what we talked about. Divisions. All right. Divisions in the NHL. Obviously, we could start with the Atlantic because the Boston Bruins are there. So I think that's where we start. Ty, Bruins total, Bruins point total, over under 101.5. Now, we did kind of talk about this, a little bit earlier, before the pod started. But, where are you leaning on that one? Why? Joe, same thing to you. Over under 101.5 points. Again, the Bruins finished, I think, last year with 102 is what you said. I'll tell you, initially for me, I lean the under. I think the Bruins didn't get much better, so probably got worse in terms of their actual, another year for these guys probably means you're losing Bergeron or Marchand for another number of games. Hopefully Pasternak doesn't fall off the curb, as we kind of talked about, and break his thumb. But, Char's, another year older. You're probably going to get a little bit younger on the back end with the bottom six. I don't know what you can expect for Tuukka Rask, if he's going to play the same way again. And I think division around you got significantly better. So I lean under. Ty, what are your thoughts?
You know what? I'm actually leaning a little bit over here. They finished last year with 107. I think having a full year of Charlie Coyle is going to help them. Keep in mind, last year, too, they missed Charlie McAvoy for an extended stretch. And I think then in the playoffs, he was their best player. If he can be healthy, which we know to this point is a huge question mark for them. But if he can be healthy, that almost eases the burden that's on Chara, that's on that first line, that second line, when you have a great defenseman like that. So I just look at the Bruins and I see a team that they have a great power play. They're strong down the middle with Bergeron, Krejci, Coyle, and Corrali. And they have two good goalies in Rask and Halak. You know that they're going to be at least average to above average. Nothing in their careers that can tell you that they're going to be worse than sort of what they have been. Again, league average. So I look at that, and the Atlantic had three 100-point teams last year. The Bruins were one of them. I'm kind of leaning towards them going over there. The Maple Leafs had 100 points last year. I'd like to think the Bruins can be 2 points better than what the Leafs were last year.
So just sticking with that, I go under. I just think the Bruins had a great year last year, and I just think the whole conference in general is going to be better. That's going to be what's talked about all year long. I think Toronto's going to be better. But again, they're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Tampa Bay has to be better. They have to be insulted. Just any adjective you want to add about what happened to them last year. But then look at the other teams in that division, right? Florida, yeah, whatever. Montreal. But Buffalo, they should be an improved team. Detroit's still down. Ottawa's still down. But I look at that Atlantic. To me, it's Tampa Bay, Toronto, Boston. That's just the line that I look at there when it comes to those three teams.
All right, let's move into Buffalo. Buffalo is a really young team. We know that they have a lot of young talent. They have multiple draft, top draft picks from Dahlin to Eichel. Obviously, their main guys. Their top line last year was a pretty big disappointment, in my opinion. Obviously, Eichel missed a lot of time. Buffalo at over under 84.5. I don't really have a great feel on this. If I was going to say something, I would probably put Buffalo on the under just because their goaltending situation to me feels shaky. It feels shaky. Their back end, I mean, I love what they have, obviously, in their top pair, but after that, they're probably going to have to make some more moves. I don't love what Buffalo has. I'd say under 84.5
time. Johansson's, right?
They added Marcus.
They did sign
Marcus
Johansson, yep.
Jimmy Vesey, and Colin Miller. Those are sort of their big ads there. But the ultimate question mark is what happens with Ristolainen. That's sort of the question right now. They still haven't traded him. That's probably going to happen at some point this year. What is the return there? How does that impact their on-ice roster on a nightly basis? I would go under there as well. The same sort of issues you brought up there with the goaltending. I don't really necessarily believe in Carter Hutton. I don't think he's a number one goaltender.
No.
So I look at that, and then what we're talking about in this division is this division last year had four gimmies, I would say, if you were a team in that division. Buffalo was one of them, but I think Florida's better. I think Montreal, assuming Carey Price is healthy, Claude's system should allow them to be competitive. I don't know if Buffalo can match that side of the game. So I would go under there with Buffalo.
Do you think that there is any chance that, I mean, Mittelstadt was pretty good last year. Do you think there's any chance that he takes the next step? Same with Reinhardt, who we've been kind of waiting for to like take the next fucking step. Like he feels like a guy who drafted high, hasn't really produced at a high level. Does he take the next step? I mean, they have a lot of talent on the wings. Johansson, Okposo, Sherry, Skinner. I'd even go so far to say like Vesey, if he can, kind of get it back, and they're deep down the middle. I mean, between Mittelstadt, Eichel, I think they brought in Vladimir Sobotka, if I'm correct, mm-hmm. and Reinhardt probably is going to play the center too, and Lazar, who you don't even know where you're going to put him. They're deep. They're deep, Ty. But do they have enough to like still put out a good product every night? I mean, I know they have names. Can they put it all together? Because I think that's my real question, Joe. Do you have any? I mean, how do you feel?
Again,
about that?
I thought this was a good team last year. Like, I thought they were on the rise.
Me
see
too.
Good things with them.
That's a problem. You get burned by this team every year.
Yeah. And, like, to me, if you're going to make a betting edge on this team, it's probably the under. Just for the simple fact that they peaked a little bit. But, Kruger, I'm interested to see. Like, I'm interested to see what he does, what he can do with this roster for the most part. But Colin Miller, right? We've seen him here. We've seen him be an offensive defenseman other places that he's gone. Realistically, you're right. This is probably another bottom four of this Atlantic division. I'd probably lean under when it comes to Buffalo.
All right. Moving on to the Red Wings. Obviously, their win total is going to be a bit lower. We
what
know
happened
they're in,
to the Red Wings?
Well, they're in basically a rebuild.
What happened?
They're in basically a rebuild. Right now, so their win total or their total points. I've got to say, saying win total, 76.5. Okay, I had this one as on my list, but didn't make the final cut for my win totals this year because I have a list of them. Didn't make my final cut. The problem to me with this team is outside of Larkin, Mantha, and really Nielsen, they are lacking scoring. I guess Anastasio too. They lack scoring. They lack scoring all over the place. And then their goalie situation is Jonathan Beria and Jimmy Howard, who has just collapsed into a puddle that we used to know. I think this team is going to be garbage this year, honestly. I mean, we talk about Buffalo being, man, this team might be the worst team in the entire Atlantic Division outside of Ottawa, of course.
Yeah.
This team sucks. They're really young, though. So, Ty, thoughts on them maybe making a jump here? I don't know their prospect situation off the top of my head. Obviously, they've been drafting, you know, high up the draft, and they have some good young defensemen. It feels like their offense is going to lack no matter what.
Yeah, I go under there for that exact reason. And you look at their offseason, they added Filppula and Patrick Nemeth, and those guys are not going to be difference makers. Stevie Eiserman's playing the long game here. He really is. He's going for a slow build with this team. They lose Cronwall. They lose Thomas Vonick. I mean, those are veteran pieces that can help with these younger players on a day-to-day basis, kind of understanding that, hey, this isn't going to be fun. This is going to be painful. It's going to be difficult. They lose those guys. They didn't really add anything outside of that. So I look at them and I say they're worse than they were a year ago. Jimmy Howard is a year older.
Are they worse than Ottawa? Because that, my question is, are they worse than Ottawa? Because I was damn close to playing this as an under, making it a PP is what we call a podcast play or whatever. I was close. I mean, this is this team just lacks offensively. I don't know what they do outside the top, even like the top line, really. I mean, I guess top six, because you have Abdelkader in there and whatever. I guess maybe you can throw Glenn Denning or Filppula, you know, up there or whatever. But other than that, I mean, their bottom six fucking blows.
And that's the problem.
They were terrible in the defense last year.
Yeah, you look at their second, third lines and you go, okay, how do you fit here? But at the end of the day, no matter who you put there, it's not NHL middle six, in my opinion. So that's where they're lacking, honestly. And then keep in mind, they're going to be selling pieces off. I mean, this is part of what Eiserman does. This is the slow build towards building that team back into a winner. So they're going to strip away pieces. If you have a piece who isn't on an entry-level deal, they're probably going to try to trade him. You know, like, Mike Green's an example.
I was just
going
to say, they have to trade Green, right?
Yeah, Danny DeKeyser, is he another one? Like, so they have guys that they're going to be moving out. So
get anything for DeKeyser? Trevor Daly, I guess, too, you know, is a guy who probably fills in some other team's top six, which is kind of embarrassing. I would not be surprised if they end up flipping Filppula and Glenn Denning, because those are two guys you kind of alluded to, not in the top six, who end up, you know, or just aren't that good. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, that's sort of, you know, this roster is just not built to compete. So, yeah, they could be worse than Ottawa, because I think Ottawa bottomed out last year.
Yeah.
Well, right now, the Atlantic Division odds have them both at 10,000.
You know what? I'm gonna change my course here. I'm gonna make this a PP. I think that the under 76.5 is a really good play. And I just played a little bell there.
Boom, boom.
We play a little pool. So there's the first PP or whatever. Outside of really, there's five offensive players that I actually happen to like, and I think their third pairing and the second pairing defensemen are young. They're really gonna roll with Bowie and Chalowski. I mean, that and Hronek was good at points last year, but that's bad. All right, let's move into a team that I actually think is going to be. I'm really interested to hear your take on this team, Ty, because this is one team I really like. I like this team, the Florida Panthers. Their win total, or their point total, again, did it again, sitting at 96.5 this year. I think this team has the potential to be one of the top two teams in the Atlantic. And again, I know we kind of, it has that Buffalo feel. We said that last year about this team. I like them a lot. This was one of the only teams we actually lost in the win total last year.
Joel Quenneville, though.
But yeah, right? But they had Quenneville. Their team just gets better. Obviously, Dadanov is going to play. Again, they're offensively elite. There's no question about what they're going to be able to do offensively. Defensively, I feel like they're struggling, and they finally have a goalie. Signing Bobrovsky is just a fucking massive move. One of the top five goalies in the league, I think we can all agree there. Does that put Florida over the top and really kind of put them into legit contention?
I love this team. I would go over there. I love this team. I think that they will be a playoff team this year. When you replace Luongo with Bobrovsky, that's a huge move. And then one of the other moves they made that I really like is adding Brett Connolly. I know Bruins fans hear Brett Connolly and they shudder, but this guy was one of the most productive middle six wingers in all of hockey last year. When you look at his usage and the way the Caps utilized him, really maximized his output, really. And then you look at the rest of the roster. Barkov is a stud, and no one realizes it because he plays in Florida.
Dude, I love Barkov. He might be the best two-way forward outside of Bergeron and Kopitar in the league.
He's unbelievable. So I look at that, and you guys talked about some other pieces on their roster. Big fan. And now, can Quinville turn Yandle and Ekblad into what Keith and Seabrook were when the Blackhawks are really rolling in that first era? So I look at that, and I say, yeah, I like this team a lot. And I think that the hype is real, and particularly in net and on the back end, what Quinville can do for this team. I really do believe in that. They might challenge. They might challenge Boston, Toronto for one of those second or third spots in the division. I really do believe that.
Yeah, that's how I feel. If Barkov stays healthy, obviously that we know that's been his thing.
They've been 86 points last year, so they're getting the respect.
And they were at 93.5 last year. It was one of the only win totals that we did not hit on last year. But obviously, Borgstrom looks like a player. That young kid out of Finland, he looks like a player. Hoffman. Obviously, you guys know Mike Hoffman. If you're a Bruins fan, Hoffman tortured the team with the Senators. Dadanov from Russia, you guys know about him already, or you should at this point. Huberto, Trocheck, they are loaded in terms of scoring potential. Connolly is a guy, if he slides in the top six, Ty, that's a little scary to me. The only thing I don't love about this team is the offensive depth. Defensively, though, Ekblad and Yandel, as you said, kind of the top guys. But Matheson is a very good defensive defenseman. Same with Pizik. And they had Strahlman as well, and Mackenzie Weegar. You know, I'm not a big fan of his. They probably have to add another defenseman back there. But I think this team, as you said, is playoff bound. That's my personal feeling, is that they are playoff bound and that they are going to be pretty damn good. And if that ends up happening, look out, because if I'm a Bruins fan, this is the team that fucking terrifies me. This is the team that I think knocks you out of one of those top three slots. So I would be careful. This was also a team that made my list, but or didn't make the final cut. Was on the initial list of being an over, didn't make my final cut there.
Just to bang this division out, Montreal, do you have any thoughts on them?
No, it's the same problem they've always had, right? They're weaker down the middle. They need a high-end score. They don't have it. It really is the Carey Price show yet again. The Montreal Canadiens have spent so much money on depth pieces and players that really don't fit what they're looking for, what they need. So I look at the Sebastian Aho offer sheet, if you want to call it that. It was the easiest thing that Carolina's ever matched in their entire franchise history. And I just look at Montreal and I say this roster's lacking. I don't see enough to propel them in this division. You need some star power. You need some offensive push. And I look at Montreal's roster and I don't see it.
There's no top line talent really.
89.5 points.
Yeah. To me, this was an easy under because I don't think you're going to have four or five good teams in the same division. I think, and again, Carey Price just doesn't stay healthy. So again, I think we do need to speed it up a little bit.
Yeah,
so
why the Toronto Maple Leafs and why Tampa Bay? Like, they're ahead of the Bruins, Florida, all the teams we talked about, but Can you give a point of why Toronto should win this division and maybe why Tampa Bay will?
Well, Toronto should win this division if they do because their younger players are a year older. And Matthews and Marner and Nylander and Kapanen, these guys should take the next step forward. Morgan Riley's another one, too. He should take the next step forward and become an elite talent. They still have questions on the back end. I like Tyson Barry, though. I think he's a good addition to their team. So that could make a big difference there. A full year of Jake Muzzin, if he's healthy, that could make a difference as well. Tampa Bay, they're just loaded. You look at the roster, it's an absolutely loaded roster. You're talking about having Anthony Cirelli and Yanni Gourde and Cedric Paquette. You know, you got all these guys that slide into roles perfectly. You know, Braden Point. It just, that roster is so deep. And you know what they did? They went out and they added Pat Maroon and Kevin Shattenkirk. And if those guys can be healthy and excel in bottom of the roster roles, now you don't get a break with this team. They come at you in waves. So that's why I like Tampa as well.
And that's, I think, what Toronto's becoming. They added a guy like Kerfoot, who, you know, was slept on in Colorado, but really was very productive. The thing that scares me in Toronto is they don't really have any defensive defensemen. Cody Ceci is not a good player. You cannot put him out there on the ice for 20 minutes a night and hope to not get goals. You want to put him on third line pairing, that's fine. But adding Tyson Barry, which I like the move, don't get me wrong, getting rid of a scumbag for Tyson Barry, I think is a good move. You know, getting rid of Kadri, I mean, for Barry is a good move. But they have no defensive defensemen. Morgan Riley is good on the defensive end, but Muzzin is very eh, and Barry is very eh. Toronto is going to be an over team. I'm sorry. They're going to score a lot of goals. They're going to give up a lot of goals. And Frederik Anderson's stats are going to be heavily, goal against stats are going to be heavily inflated. So their total is 101.5. What do you think about Toronto? Over, under?
I would go over there.
Joe? I'd go over too.
Guess what? My PP in this division with Toronto, over 101.5. I think they're going to get 103, 104.
I actually like Toronto to win the division at plus 275.
I think that's a great pick because I think that Tampa Bay
is the square play at minus 125.
Tampa Bay eventually is going to have some guys who just don't. They get hurt. You know, we're seeing it more and more. Like Hedman got hurt at the end of the year. Vasilevsky got hurt for a portion of last year. You can't have that much talent, and they rely on them all the time. So if they start having any sort of injuries with Tampa Bay, they're in trouble. That's my feeling on Tampa Bay, is their team that needs to stay healthy. Their total, by the way, guys, 108.5. That's by far the highest in the league. You guys going over under 108.5?
I believe in them too much to go under.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think it's going to be neck and neck, Toronto, Tampa Bay.
I think
with Boston creeping around.
See, I think Tampa Bay is going to go over the 108.5, and I think we're going to see a struggle in the playoffs again. I don't know if the team is built for the playoffs. Let's move on to the final team in the division, the Ottawa Senators. Pretty much what everyone considers the worst team in the division. Their point total, the lowest in the league at 69.5. Guys, they ended up with, like, I think it was 66 last year. Where are you guys going here? Obviously, we know this team lacks any sort of top-end talent anywhere on the roster.
Under.
Except for Shabbat, who really is a top-end defensive player.
They're going to suck bad. That division is good.
Yeah, I would go under there. I just they didn't do anything to improve it. And they're going to be, again, if Craig Anderson has any value, they're going to trade him.
So you guys think that either, you guys don't think that Brady Tkachuk, Colin White, any of those guys kind of explode on the scene, help them a little bit, like maybe get a little bit better? I mean, Shabbat's one of the best defensive players in the league, and Zaitsev is good on the back end too.
I just think that you look at it and, yeah, well, Shabbat was great last year and didn't really make a big difference for them either. So I don't see how they could hang in this division.
Fair. All right. I also lean the under. It made my list but didn't make my final cut. Let's move on to the Metro, and we'll kind of speed this up again. I know we're taking a little bit of time.
All right, but so while we're on it, let's just look at it, all right? All right. Off the bat, like, who stands out to you? Is it Washington? Because I kind of like what New Jersey did last year. The Islanders look good, right? I mean, we look at all these teams. Do you believe in the Rangers, who have made moves? Pittsburgh's still in the conversation, and we know what Carolina did. So I guess just off the top, this is a competitive division. Who do you like at least coming out of this division, Airtime?
Yeah, the worst team in this division might be probably the fifth best team in the Atlantic, really. Like, if you think about it,
probably.
Yeah. And I like in this division, like the Capitals. They're consistent. They have the scoring, the forward depth. They replace Brett Connolly with Richard Ponick. I like that move for them. On their back end, they get rid of Niskanen. They bring in Gudas. I think that's an advantage, actually, for Washington.
For who?
Washington?
Washington's at 97.5 points.
I would go over there.
I'd go over that, too.
All right, so let's break it down. Let's start with Washington. 97, you guys like Washington, over 97.5. Again, Samsonov is their backup goalkeeper. I don't know if you guys know about that kid. I'm sure you guys do, listeners. Russian kid coming over. I think he's taking over for Holtby. He looks, disgusting. He looks like he's going to be a legit top-end elite goalkeeper in the league for a while. If they have Holtby and Samsonov as their goalies all year, guys, I'm not really sure how you're going to beat this team night in, night out, because they're going to be so good on the back end. That's the one thing that scares me. I agree. Washington over 97.5.
Will Carolina do what they did last year? Like, they got embarrassed by the Bruins. But, like, can they continue to be that team, I guess, that made it that far?
Well, I was on board with the whole they're a fluke team, and then they had their offseason. They add Eric Halla, they add Ryan Dzingel, they add Jake Gardner. That defense was already loaded, and they've added, a great offensive piece to it. I think Reimer is a good backup for Peter Mrazek. He's a good backup. He's not a good starter. Yeah. He's a good backup. And I think, I'm in on the Carolina Hurricanes.
95.5 points.
They did trade Fleury for Edmondson and a pick. I do want to say... they did kind of get a little worse on the back end.
I'm going to go under.
I'm going. I like Svechnikov and Aho up front. I think they're going to take that next step. I'm going.
Sorry,
over.
Not. Yeah, I said you're going. You're going overtime. Yeah, I said. I think I said Fleury instead of
Falk.
What's it instead Justin of Falk? Falk. Yeah, Falk. Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, no, no. Yeah, my bad. I want to make sure.
Same win total, 95.5. It's Pittsburgh. Like, I know that they have the star power and everything like that, but to me, like, no. I feel like they're just still back of the pack to me. Or middle of the pack.
Who, the Hurricanes or the Penguins?
No, Penguins. They're another team at 95.5 points. They always hang around, but, like, do they make any noise anymore? Does that team make any noise anymore?
I mean, can they get something out of Malkin? Because he fucking blew last year. He was garbage. The team last year just wasn't good. The thing is, on the back end, they're so good with Jerry and Murray. Jerry should probably be a starter for most teams, in my opinion. They're so deep on the back end. Dumoulin, Johnson, Letang, Gudbranson, Peterson, Schultz. You just continue to go through. They're deep on the back end. The thing is, they didn't get anything from like the middle of the roster, like the lower part of the roster. Galchenyuk is the big move they made. They traded Rick Kessel, got Galchenyuk from Arizona. They should be better because they're younger and those guys, you know, they should get some sort of development. But like, again, I think Pittsburgh and I also think Carolina are both going under. I think both of those teams, Pittsburgh at 95.5, Carolina 95.5. I think they're both going under this year. They're just Carolina. Just to me, again, nice flash in the pan, but can you do it for a whole season? I don't love the goaltending situation. I know you like it more than I do, Ty. And in Pittsburgh, another year of wear and tear. And it just feels like that team is starting to head in the wrong direction.
And you have to sort of weigh it out, too, is the competitive balance of that division. Does that bring everyone down, you know, a peg in terms of their point totals? Pittsburgh hit 100 last year. They had 12 overtime losses, which totally helped them reach that point. Can they get more of those this year to push them over the top? Because without that, if they had half that, they would hit this under that you're talking about. So that becomes an issue, I think, as well. But as long as you have Crosby and Malkin, it's hard for me it's hard for me to say that you're not going to be in there. You're not going to be one of the league's best.
All right. What about Columbus? Sitting at 83.5. I have a play on this one.
They're the biggest underdog in this division.
I will let you guys talk about this. To me, because maybe I want to see what you guys think about this team. There's a lot of middling pieces, maybe top six, bottom nine, but nothing super elite. But a few guys who can kind of take that next step. Maybe Dubois, you guys consider elite. I'm not really sure. Obviously, in the front end, back end, they have Seth Jones and Werenski, who are definitely elite. Goaltending situation sucks. Joe, Ty, what do you guys think?
That's sort of what I lean back on, is that the goaltending situation, they lose Duchesne, Bobrovsky, and Panarin and replace it with Gustav Nyquist. So while they have internal pieces, they lost, I think, too much. I go under there.
Yeah, I just think they're going to be the worst team in that division, if you ask me. So I'd fade that one hard. Would I go under? Probably. But yeah, I'm looking here. They have like some decent prospects, like 40 and up. But for me, was it all worth it for them to lose those guys? No.
PP Columbus Blue Jackets under 83.5 points.
Boom.
They're not talented enough in the goalkeeping area. I like Korpisalo probably more than most people do, and I still don't think that he's good enough to be back there. Defensively, they have a lot of top-end talent, Werenski and Jones. I don't really like Savard. He's okay. Nudavara sucked last year. Murray always gets hurt. And then I know Texier is kind of one of those guys, supposed to be a nice young prospect, rookie of the year type guy, but they have a lot of guys who just have not exploded. I forgot Cam Atkinson too. He's been, you know, up and down the past few years, elite. But they were up last year, feels like they're coming back down, especially without a goaltender. All right, moving on. We have the New Jersey Devils. And why don't we just lump?
I thought they had a nice little team.
Why don't we just lump all the New Jersey, New York teams kind of in together
Jersey,
and talk
New York
about
and Philly.
The Devils? I think we can do Philly separately, right. But the Devils, the Islanders, and the Rangers, three teams. All from the New York, New Jersey area. Ty, what are your thoughts? Joe, what are your thoughts on these teams? Obviously, Joe, you said you like what New Jersey did. I think everyone likes what they did this offseason, too. I think that they're going to be a much improved team.
Yeah, absolutely. And they add the number one overall pick, Jack Hughes. They add Nikita Gusev. They add Wayne Simmons, PK Subban. I like that. And Taylor Hall's on a contract year. That's a good-looking roster, but Corey Schneider hasn't been healthy these last few years. His goals against average was over three. Over three? I mean, how can you bank on this guy being healthy when his numbers continue to decline year after year after year in their division? So I like what they did. I don't think they're there yet, though. And I think that's sort of a problem when it comes to convincing Taylor Hall to stay. So I think that that team, while I like their improvements, I would need to know their point total. But
their point total is at 90.5.
I go a little under there. I just think you're going to be leaning on.
I feel like I go over.
See, I think I'm going to go over too. I just feel like you have Gusev, the kid coming over from Russia.
I just think Subban should make them
a better team. Especially on the back end. But they have so much young talent. John Hayden, Hershiser, Hughes, Gusev, who's coming over, he's not that young, but coming over from Russia. Miles Wood, Zaka. Yeah, you're going to hit on some of those guys. Some of those guys are going to explode. You're not going to get the same year you got from Will Butcher, but you still. Subban, Vatanen should be better with Subban, you know, next to him in the lineup. Butcher's still good. Andy Green's still good defensively. Mirko Muir, you're hopefully getting something. Same with Severson. And I think, Ty, Blackwood has a chance to be a good goalie. I think he does. So even if Schneider gets hurt for a while, I think Blackwood could come in and give you serviceable time. He was a top prospect a few years ago for a reason. So I'd actually say the over there, kind of our first, I guess, bigger disagreement. What about the Islanders, Ty? Because we know what they did in the playoffs. Then they got swept by Carolina.
Yeah, I go under there. It's at what, 90 and a half?
They're at 90.5, yep.
Yeah, I go under there. I don't like trading out Lehner for Varlamov. Varlamov's always hurt. You know that he's a lock to miss at least a month of time. He's done it every year of his career, basically. So I think that's an under there. I think that team overachieved, but I think they lost some pieces. I don't see how they remain competitive given how the other teams around them all improved. I don't think that's a great strategy. They tried to get Panarin. They lost out on him, and I think that's going to come back to really hurt them this year.
I thought they were good last year, but I think I'm going to go under.
I think I go under, but I think this is going to be one of the point totals that's right there. Like, I think this is going to be one we see. It's going to be 90, 89, 91. I think they're going to be right in that mix, but they're not going to be good enough. They still have a lot of top six talent. Barzal, Bailey, Eberle. I know we all kind of, you know, whatever, but he's at least scores. You know, Anders Lee, Brock Nelson, guys who can put the puck in the back of the net. We know what they have on the back end. They're good on the back end.
My friend Johnny Boychuk.
Our old boy, yeah, Johnny Boychuk. Guys like Pulak, who really kind of stepped up into his own thing. Again, comes back to the goaltending and can they stay healthy? I don't really like Varlamov, but I like Grice. So I can at least live with an injury to Varlamov. You just can't ride Grice too hard. How about the Rangers? Sitting at 88.5. This team fucking sucked last year, guys, but they added a lot
they
of talent.
So many trades, though.
They added a lot of talent.
Is that going to pay off this year? That's my question.
It's jamming all sorts of talent together.
I go over. I do. I think this is a playoff team. I really do believe that. I think Trouba makes a big difference for them. Panarin's a top 10 winger in the NHL. I do like Kaapo Kakko. I think he'll be good for them. So I'm going over there. I think this is, and David Quinn is a great coach. I mean, you just haven't been able to tell because the team has been so bad. But I think that this defense, they're finding structure. I think it's going to help Henrik Lundqvist. I do think this is a playoff team, so I go over.
I like the over too, but I'm going to go under for this one reason. Down the middle, they suck. I mean, really, you think about it, Zibanejad might be their top line center. Mm. That's bad.
My only thing with them is they made so many moves that they have to improve. Well, maybe they are a group of assets. Maybe they are, but I have expectations for this team.
I think they're more than a group of assets, but this is going to be like a coming together year. Like, you know, they added Kakko, as he said. You know, they added Nemestikov late in the year last year. Just added Panarin. You know, they're also adding Trouba. Defensively, they're still really good. I mean, they're good defensively. Also, Georgiev is that kind of prospect. They're going to have some younger goalkeeping mixing in this year with Lundqvist. So I still think they're going to be under just because they're so young. And they're adding so many moving parts together. That's my only problem with
it. All right, who comes out of the East?
I'll let you guys start. I have a pick for coming out of the East. What do you guys think?
I think Tampa. I think it's now or never for that team, and I think they realize it. I love that roster construct. I love the skill at the top. I think that they have a goaltender that will keep Vasilevsky fresh now, so you don't have to worry about him playing 65, 70 games. So I go Tampa. I really do. I think it's down to Tampa, and I don't know who comes out of the Metro. I've been wrestling with that one all day. I mean, I look at that division, but I think ultimately it will be Tampa coming out of the East.
We actually forgot a team in the Metro, the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah.
Who I actually think are a really good team this
really?
Year. Yeah. I actually
they did turn it on late a little bit.
I think that this is going to be a very, very surprising team for people. So much, in fact, that I'm giving out a PP on the over 90.5 for the Flyers. I think that this is going to be a very surprising team in the Metro. I think it is. I think this is going to be one of those teams that ultimately surprises people and, you know, it kind of comes out of there. Also, to go along with that, they're my pick to come out of the Metro. And I know it's a little surprising, but +825, I like the odds on that. I think they're really good. The only team that really scares me, I think the only team that's better than them is the Capitals. That's the only team I look at them and say, are they better than? But I think if the Capitals getting a little bit older, they're going to have some injuries. I'm hoping that the Flyers come up. I think the Flyers are the best team in that division outside of Washington.
I feel gross saying this, but I'm going to take Toronto to win the East. And I just feel like every year it's somebody different, right? Last year it was the Bruins. Tampa Bay's had this shit. Like, I think this is – how many times have we said this? This is finally Toronto's year. I'm riding it to the finals.
Dude. I'm with you. I'm taking the Leafs to win the East this year. And again, maybe that makes it a little bit square. My second choice right there is Florida. I think Florida is going to be fucking great this year. Like, I think they are going to be the team that really surprises everyone. And maybe teams won't be surprised because they added Bobrovsky. But, like, I think they're the team out of the Eastern Conference that really surprised everyone and is really good this year. But I think Toronto is just slightly better than them. And I think that Toronto will probably make a deadline addition, as they always do, probably get some defensive defensemen, makes them a little bit better, and I think that would be my pick. Ty, the only problem with Tampa is they just choke so hard, man. I cannot take a team that just constantly choking every year, it feels like. That's my only issue.
It's hard. I mean, I think all of our picks are fundamentally flawed in the sense that it's the Atlantic bracket, right? Which I think is the hardest bracket probably in hockey to
no
come out of.
No one took the Bruins, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So for those people who want to call us homers,
yeah, we get called homers because which is funny because I took the Blues in the Stanley Cup last year, and I said the Celtics were going to suck last year.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually not true. In the playoffs, they were going to suck. So one of the two. Anyways.
So no Bruins coming out of the East there.
No, I would be...
Interesting.
Do not be... here you go, hot take. I would not be surprised if the Bruins don't make the playoffs next year. Would not be surprised.
Oh, that's crazy talk.
No, that's crazy.
See, I don't think it's that crazy. If they have a few injuries, like if you have a few injuries,
well,
man.
They already got a couple off the bat. I mean, nothing crazy, but.
Well, they need them. They need the long-term injury reserve money. We can get in that different day. Let's move to the Western Conference, guys. Central Division, we're kind of kicking to it. The Blackhawks, okay? Their win total, 90.5. I don't feel like I'm well-versed in this team as I am in the East, okay? Now, it's an outlier for me. Just because I didn't watch the Blackhawks last year. I just kind of thought they sucked and wasn't really into them, but they have a lot of talent. They continuously added young players. It feels like every year they're a team who adds young players more and more. This year is Alexander Nylander. You know, obviously DeBrincat a couple of years ago. They added Dylan Strome. Like they continuously add young players. I just don't know if they're putting it all together.
I go over there. I love DeBrincat. I love Eric Gustafson last year was a revelation for them on the power play. So I go over, and I love Robin Lehner with Corey Crawford. That gives him an insurance policy. Yeah. Crawford's injury history.
Plus Cam Ward, right?
Cam Ward stinks. And they get one of these guys who I think last year was a Vezina-caliber goaltender. So, and I love the idea of going with a younger head coach here. Does that help bring the best out of Kane and Taves? These guys, you know, they have something to play for here. Their legacy has taken a hit, I think, in recent seasons. So I do think that the Blackhawks are going to be better this year, and I think they might challenge for a wild card spot.
Who's on defense for them though?
Well, defensively, they have a lot of young guys who or whatever. Calvin DeHaan, we know about him, defenseman. Gustafson, we kind of just talked about. Duncan Keith, still there. Him and Seabrook, they're not the same guys they used to be. Not even close. Slater Kukoc is the guy from Tampa that they acquired.
They have enough veteran talent to make a run.
Connor Murphy, who was pretty good for them, and in Alimata. The thing is, they have a lot of like wild cards in their team. Kagulia from Edmonton. We know what DeBrincat is, but Nylander was kind of next year. Perlini, Quinville, Saad sucked last year. Strome. They have a lot of in and out in defensive and the kind of guys we just talked about, Mata and Kokic especially. Guys who just we don't really know about. They're going to hit on some of the guys, but it feels like they're going to miss on some of those guys too. So that's my only worry with them. I would say under, but I don't feel great about it. All right, let's move into the team. You talked about it already, Joe. The Colorado Avalanche, okay? They've done a lot. Their win total is at 98.5.
They're the favorite to win the division.
They're the favorite to win the division this year. I don't even know what their odds are yet.
Plus 300 to win the division.
Wow, plus 300. Interesting. Okay. What are your thoughts on this team, Ty?
I love them. I'm buying into the hype. A full year of Kale McCarr. Kadri, he does a lot of little things. I know he's dirty, but he does a lot of little things that add up to wins in the regular season. I love that first line still. I go over there. I think this team could be a Stanley Cup winner. I really do believe that.
Joe?
I just wonder if they're ready to take that next level. Like last year, they went on this run. They showed up. They played well. But like the more I look at it, can they take that next step? Nazem Kadri, right? He's coming over for them. I'm just looking
He was the guy they traded for Tyson Barrie for Kadri, yeah.
So like I look at it, can they take that next step? They showed the progression. I like them. I'm reading here that one of the bold predictions for this year is that they're going to have the league's best power play. Now, if that happens, that's going to lead them a long way.
Well, with McKinnon and Rantanen, that's not really and McCarr, it's not really a shocker.
I think that division's good. When you look at those teams here, the whole thing for me is, can they take that next step? Last year, they showed they can. There's a lot of hype. Everyone likes them. I like them. But you know what usually happens when everyone likes a team like that? Everyone jumps on the boat and the boat sinks. That's the only thing that scares me with this team.
I don't give a shit about the boat. Over 98.5 with the PP. To me, this team is loaded. Burakovsky, Donskoy, Yost, Kadri, Landeskog, McKinnon, Rantanen. And I honestly am going to give, I'm going to go a little bit bold here, Kai. Maybe you'll think about this later. Valeri Nichushkin was really good for Dallas a couple years ago. If he can gain any sort of form back, they're good. Kale McCarr looked fucking amazing last year in the playoffs. Kid's going to be nasty. The only thing I worry about is the goaltending. Grubauer is it. After that, I mean, I don't really know anything about Francou, but I'm going to tell you this right now. They're in trouble if Grubauer gets hurt.
This kid's excited to talk.
I
do football with this kid for how many weeks now? Holy shit, you're all in, kid.
I like it.
You'll lose all your money tonight, hopefully.
No, I'm not. I have a few more. But yeah, but here's the thing. But they're season long plays, Joe. So it's not too worried.
But
okay.
Like, continue to look at that. Like we talk about Colorado, right? Dallas is going to be still good, right? But don't you think Nashville? Like they're still going to be St. Louis, Winnipeg. Winnipeg flared out in the playoffs, obviously, but
I got Winnipeg as my tanking team. Not tanking, but like they lost a lot of pieces on that back end. That's going to be a big loss.
The Central is going to be the best division in hockey. There's no question about it.
What's the Winnipeg win total?
Winnipeg's sitting at 93.5. They lost a lot, as Ty said.
So Ty, you think that they're not worth a play?
I would go under there because of the fact that they lost Myers, Trouba, Bufflin's in the air. We don't know what's going to happen there.
Dude, he sounds like he's retiring. He sounds like he's done. And if he's done, they're fucked on the back end.
Exactly. I mean, that's three out of your four. Your top four defense right there.
That's a huge loss.
And their top six is disgusting. Like, they Ehlers, Laine, Shifley, Wheeler. Like, their top six is talented. Lots of goals. Brian Little's probably in there, too. But, like, on the back end, they're screwed. Like, Morrissey's a really good player, but, like, he should not be your top pairing guy going into a season with Bufflin if Bufflin plays. Mm. Like, they're in trouble. They're relying on, like, guys like Dahlstrom this year. Like, I don't know, man. This team is an easy under. I like Helly Busick, whatever you want to say, as their goalie. But, like, this feels like an under team.
I want to get into Dallas. What do you think Pavelski's going to do for that team?
Well, he's pretty much been a lock for 30 goals, which will definitely help them down the middle. It eases the burden on Tyler Seguin to be a guy that he's never really quite been when it comes down to nut-cutting time. You know, he's always been a good point producer, but is he your number one center? I think having Pavelski will help them there. I don't love the move for Corey Perry, but I understand, I guess, why they did it. I look at that back end, though, with their defenseman, Miro, there. He's unbelievable. So I think
Heskanainen,
he's disgusting. I mean, if he takes that next step, right? We always talk about that. That took Doughty a few years to take that next step. If he can be that next guy, that changes things dramatically for them.
I thought he got robbed of the Calder, but whatever.
I mean, the other thing is that Dallas is finally adding secondary scoring, which they just haven't done. As you kind of said, they've always relied on Ben and Seguin. Always, always, always. But finally, they're at Jason Dickinson finally showed up a little bit last year. Fox is not really a goal scorer, but Rupi Hintz, he can score a little bit. Same thing with Radulov. That's why they added him. And now Corey Perry and Pavelski. I get why you don't love adding Perry because the you know, but just he gives you the secondary scoring they haven't had. And that's what's most important to me. Plus, guys, Ben Bishop on the back end, okay? He was disgusting last year, and he should be again. We know their defense, Huskinen and Klinberg, Lindell, Oleskiak, okay, they're great defensively, and Khudobin is their backup goalie. That team is going over. It's not a PP, but going over 97.5. They should be the second best team in the Central, which leads me into what I think is the third best team, the Nashville Predators, Ty. They added probably the biggest free agent, okay? But I still think that no matter how good if you add to Shane, I still think they struggle on the defensive end right now. I like Josi, but he's getting older. And I know that they have Ekholm and Ellis, but like it just feels like those guys never can be in the same lineup at the same time. Goalkeeping-wise, I think they might have the best tandem in the league in Rinna and Saros, but I still worry about what they do on the defensive end. And they're, by the way, their win total or point total is at 97.5, too. So they're right there with Dallas.
Yeah, I like this team with Duchesne and Johansson down the middle. I think that's a great move for them. I mean, it was a worst kept secret in hockey that Duchesne was going there.
And Turris.
I mean, that's a great 1-2-3, and it's still young enough where it can be a real game changer for them. Those guys really aren't in their mid 30s yet. They still have some game left. So I like that team a lot. Rene, I thought, really sort of had a resurgence last year. We were kind of talking about Rene sort of being on the back nine for a very long time, and he still probably is. But last year, I thought he was much better. Really sort of reestablished the faith in that team, still being a cup contender. So I like them there. I think that they might be the best team. They might be in the running for the best team in that division, so I go over there.
I'm going over 97.5, and you can lock that up as a PP there on the podcast.
Bang, bang. Joe
this is
Murray.
One of my surprise teams, actually. I think... Legitimately, I think this team could make the Stanley Cup this year.
Again, the only thing I worry about is defensively, because Dante Fabbro, is he making that jump to the next level? Roman Josi, is he going to be healthy for every game? Same thing with Ellis and Ekholm. We've seen have injuries. And then their third pairing, you go with Hamus and like Irwin or something? A little scary to me. That's not that big of a deal, I guess. They're loaded offensively. I mean, they're loaded. Arvidsson, Duchesne, Forsberg, Granulin, Johansson, Turris. They're loaded, especially down the middle. Can they get the secondary wing depth, wing scoring? That's the other question to me. All right, guys, how about a team that I think, to me, is going to be on the down end this year? That's the Minnesota Wild. Their win total is at 9, or point total is at 87.5. I just cannot stop saying win total. 87.5 this year. I think, and I think that this is kind of the prevailing thought, this team is going to be on the down end this year.
I go under. A year older for some of their best players. They have a lot of money tied up in veterans. And I know that doesn't play out, you know, to losses. But I just look at that and I say, there's no room to improve here. Even if they, you know, start out struggling or they get off to a good start, how do you improve this team? So I look at them and I sort of do it all. I think this team might be in last place in the Central.
They're plus 1,600. They're the worst odds in that division.
The one thing that they have is they have the youth in the forward group. Donato, Eriksson Ek, who was incredible in the minors and lower league hockey. Jordan Greenway, still very young. Ryan Hartman had a good year, and they're buying low on him. Luke Kunin, and Jason Zucker still is pretty young too. He's 92, so he's, you know, 90, 27, 28. Like they still have a lot of good young players who could explode, Ty. So I think maybe that's what they're hoping is hopefully some of those kids step up. Unfortunately, just feels to me that they're getting older and they're probably going to be an under team. I think they're going to be disappointed. My big problem, Dubnyk. I think he's getting worse every year, and that is a huge problem. Mm. How about the St. Louis Blues, guys? The defending. Defending Stanley
under.
Cup champion.
I don't even know what the number is, but I'm going under.
96.5. Ty, can they do it again? Joe, can they do it again?
I go under. I just don't. I think that you give teams advanced scouting on a goaltender, you give them advanced scouting on a defensive system, they're going to find the holes in it. And I think that last year, you know, Craig Berube, he's always had success right off the jump. But the longer he is in a place, the more oppositions catch up to him. So I do think that that team is sort of, they're going to take a step back this year. They weren't an overly talented team a year ago. And you know, they really sort of banged their way to victory. I just don't see that happening again this year. I don't think it's sustainable. I think their division around them, the teams are better. They have more skill. So I am going under there.
I'm actually going to disagree with you guys. I'm going to go over. I think that they have a lot of talent coming back. Robbie Fabry, Jordan Kyrou really coming up in the ranks. The bottom line last year, their fourth line was great with Sundqvist. Robert Thomas is going to be back. Barbashev, I think this team is loaded offensively. I think they're going to have some explosion. And again, they just added more in the defensive end. Justin Falk coming, Parayiko, Pietrangelo, Bomeister, who again I know is on the back nine, but again, Vince Dunn, Bortuzzo, Gunnarsson. And if Binnington sucks, they probably have Jake Allen, who I know had a terrible last year. But he cannot possibly be as bad as last year, and I think he'll probably come back to somewhere towards the mean. So if you have Allen, I think they're going to be better. I actually think the Blues are going to be pretty good this year. I'm not going to lock it up, but I think they're going to be better than you guys give them the credit for, just because I think this division, the Pacific Division, fucking horrible. This is the worst division in hockey. I'm sorry.
So listen. Is Vegas, are we being front runners and squares saying that they're the best team in this division?
It's them or San Jose. I mean, unless you want to roll with an unknown goalie in Riddick with the Flames, excuse me, it's those two teams.
Tell us about Vegas, Ty.
I love this team. This team is an absolute delight. They still have that first line that's been great for all the since they've come in the league, really. But now they have that second line, right, where it's Pacioretty, Stastny, in a full year of Mark Stone, and an extended Mark Stone. So I love what that team can do. And they can really sort of shift styles where they play. They can play a hard-nosed game. They can play a physical game. They can play a high-scoring game. I love this roster. And I think Marc-Andre Fleury is a great weapon in net for them. So I think this team might challenge for the President's Trophy, given how bad their division is.
Do they have enough on the back end? Because that's always my worry with them is like, the back end, you look at the names back there, and while they play well, it's always like Nate Schmidt. Like I like Shea Theodore a lot, but like John Merrill, Braden McNabb, Derek Engelin. Can you really bank on that defensive core to be really good again? Because that's my one like hold back with locking up and over for them. Because I agree, they should win this. They should win the division, no question. The Sharks are finishing a close number two, but still a little bit ways away. Do they have enough defensively? Because that's my big thing, Ty.
I think they do. I think they do because Gerard Gallant's defensive structure and his system has always been kind when they don't have superstar talent. So I think that that sort of evens out in a weird way for this team. So I think that, yeah, I think they can overcome that. I think they have over the course of their 2 years in the league now. I think both years that they've had relatively the same defensive core with the exception of Colin Miller. So I'm in on this team. I really am.
All right, Santa. There, by the way, their win total is over 101.5. I think everyone their point total. Jeez, I think everyone's going to be over on that. I'm over on that too. San Jose 94.5. A big drop. Obviously, they lost Pavelski. That's a massive loss for them. They re-signed Joe Thornton, but they're young, man. Like this team feels like they're getting really young, but they're not necessarily adding a lot of talent. Jones and Dell are their goalies again. You know, obviously we like Martin Jones. I think I like Martin Jones still more than most. I don't think he's better than Rask, but I like him more than most. I think that they're really young in terms of their forwards, but like they lost a lot of talent. Still, they should be good enough to win the second slot in this division.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think one of the things you like about them losing Pavelski is they have Kevin LeBanc right there. They can slide him right in, and he's going to be fine. So I like this roster. I like what Evander Kane has done for them since he's come over. Their back end, they still have Burns and Carlson. You have to like that there. So I would go over there. That seemed low when you said that. I thought you were mistaken, but...
Nope, 94 but and a half. And
I go over
and Vlasic. Them. Vlasic's their third defenseman. I mean, he might be a number one D-man in Vegas. He would be the number one D-man in Vegas. I don't think there's a question about that. Joe, thoughts on the Sharks?
Over.
You like the over?
That's a low total.
It is. It's weirdly
division
low.
Division stinks. I get it. Like, the way I just look at the division stinks.
The Central's really fucking good, though. Like, that's my thing. Is like, maybe the Sharks are low because they are worried about teams in the Central being better than them.
Well, if we continue on, like, all right, we like Vegas. We like San Jose. Calgary? I mean, I hear a lot of talk about Calgary.
I'm a Calgary doubter every year, but they're still the third best team in this division. You look at, like, look who's behind them. So I go, yeah, Calgary's third in that division. So depending on their point total, you know.
Calgary this year is about like 97.5.
Seems too high.
Fucking, I would go under there.
That's high.
I mean, would go under there, but they're still a playoff team.
Oh, Milan Lucic, though.
The thing is, goaltender-wise, they're better than they ever have been. Riddick and Talbot. I don't like Riddick as a guy, you know, long-term, but, like, defensively, Ty, you have to admit they're good. Rasmus Anderson came on last year. Brody, Giordano, Hamonic, Hanifin, Stone. That's still not including Kylington and Valimaki, who are two young kids. That's the thing, is, like, defensively, they're so fucking deep. They might be good enough to outlast San Jose just because they might not allow goals this year.
Goaltending, though.
But that's the thing. Riddick was really good last year, and Talbot, I think they might be the best goaltending spot they've ever been. Mm. Or at least in the past, you know, 10 years compared to what they usually have.
Yeah, it's not as volatile as Mike Smith. You know, Mike Smith he's had some numbers. He's had some accolades in his career, but it's always sort of, it's a mixed bag with him. So if they can get consistency out of that position, they'll be fine. I do like everything that's in front of them. That's sort of the thing. I'm a Calgary doubter because of what's in net. Not what's in front of them. So if they can be consistent, they'll put those doubts to rest. But yeah, I like the under because I think the third best team in that division. But they're still going to clean up because, again, the division is so bad once you get beyond these three teams.
All right, let's talk about a team that has a win a point total. Stop myself there. That is ridiculously high.
Arizona?
No, it's not Arizona. Vancouver is at 87.5.
So they're the second worst odds in this division.
But they're definitely not the second worst team. That's sure.
I think Anaheim's probably your worst, right?
I'd say that Anaheim, L.A., Edmonton are all worse than Vancouver, but not by a lot. Ty, why is this point total so high?
Well, it's three names. It's JT Miller, Michael Ferlin, and Tyler Myers. People look at those names and think that that's going to be what the difference is, and I don't see it. They still have Erickson, who is an absolute albatross at what he makes for them. So I look at that, and I think maybe they're relying on Peterson to take that big jump. You know, if he can take that jump and make this team a playoff team, perhaps. But I go under there because I don't see it in net, and I don't see him on the back end. So this team has too much invested in sandpaper and grit and all that bullshit, I think, to be successful enough to be above that threshold and sneak into the playoffs. I just don't see it happening. They have so much tied up in their third and fourth line. So I go under there.
My problem with them is this is the secondary scoring, as you're going to said. I don't really see where it comes from. You know, when Antoine Roussel should not be a third liner, really. I mean, they're not good after the top six. I mean, you got Besser, Horvat, who actually might end up being a third-line center this year. Miller, Peterson, and even Vertanen, I guess. They're not good. They're good defensively. And Thatcher Demko might be the rising breakout goalie of the year. But still, that should be an under. When I saw that total, that was the most surprising total to me out of everyone. All right, this is where almost all my where a lot of my PPs are coming from. So let's bang out the rest. Anaheim Ducks, 81.5 points.
Sounds low.
The Anaheim Ducks. What are your thoughts on this one, Ty?
I go over because John Gibson is too good for them to tank. That's Joe? Just how I feel.
Sounds low, man.
I'm going to go over.
Okay, I'm going under. I'm locking up the under here. The under 81.5. Here's my problem. John Gibson gets hurt every year.
That's a good point.
He's hurt all the time. And to me, this team is just continuously loses pieces. Then they have some nice young kids like Jones, like Steele. Those kids are coming and they're going to be good. Rackle, you know, he's always going to be a good player, but like they're starting to lose some defensively. Like Lindholm, I'm not sure is the top end defenseman they thought. Fowler looks like he's going back. Manson's a nice middle pairing guy. Gibson, if he plays games, is good, but if not, you have to rely on Ryan Miller, which is exactly kind of what their downfall was last year. Under for this team, I don't think they have enough secondary scoring. I think they have a lot of kids, so they're really young. I don't think their defense is that great. Also, Edmonton Oilers, guys, sitting at 85.5 points. Thoughts on this team? Because I think the Oilers suck.
Under. Yeah. Their wingers in their top six are an absolute joke. Connor McDavid is going to demand out of that town at the end of the year. I'm convinced of that. I think that's absolutely going to happen. He can't do this anymore. It's a one-man show there with him and Draisaitl. It's a two-man show, I should say. And then in net, they get Mikko Koskinen. I mean, sure, whatever. I didn't see anything out of him last year that made me think he could be a starter. I don't believe it now.
It's so. Him and Smith. Which is just, you know, two total fucking question marks.
So, yeah, I go under there.
You look at their roster outside of Drezdale and McDavid, and they have almost no scoring. Mm. None. Like, Nugent Hopkins is not really a goal guy. James Neal might be their best winger. That's fucking terrifying. Under for Edmonton, 85.5. Not a PP because the LA Kings are the final team in this division that we need to talk about before we move on to our Stanley Cup picks. Guys, LA Kings total right now, okay, sitting at 74.5.
Under. This team did nothing to improve. They did nothing to improve, and they were all a year older. I go under.
So I'm going
to
go over because I just feel like 74 is way too low. Like, way too low.
Yeah. I'm.
They can't be the worst.
I disagree. PP under 74.5. Wow. The Kings suck, dude. I mean, Jack Campbell was like their saving grace last year as a backup goalkeeper. And, dude, they are so bad. They're just, they have a lot of names and a lot of talent on the top two lines, but those guys are constantly hurt. They're constantly in and out of the lineup. They're all old. I mean, Dustin Brown, Jeff Carter, Kopitar, Kovalchuk. Even Toffoli. Toffoli is 27. He's not really that old. But like, all those guys are old. They're all going to be missing games, all getting hurt. Like, it's just going to happen. And like, their best defenseman is like, might be outside of Doughty, obviously, is like Alec Martinez. I'm out. Give me the under. That's it. That's all we have. So
Who do we like coming out of the West?
What do you like coming out of the West? Ty, I'll let you go first.
Vegas Golden Knights, baby. I think they would have been there last year had they not had that bullshit call in Game 7. And, well, I mean, they got a kill for penalty. But I think that team was the best team in the Western Conference last year. I'm sticking with them.
So I like Vegas as well, but I'll give you a dark horse. I think Nashville.
My dark horse would be Dallas.
Right now, Dallas plus 300 to come out, I believe it is.
I'm getting the prop and future lines up right now. So first off, my pick for that division from the Pacific Division is going to be Golden Knights. I think
plus 800 Dallas.
Dallas is plus 800. You said I'm going to be a little bit off script here. I'm going to take the Blues. I'm going to take the Avs. I think it's going to be the Blues and the Avs in the finals. I think the Blues are going to finish third in that division. Hmm. So I think that they will technically be on the other side of the bracket. Fourth in that division. So I think they will be on the other side of the bracket because they'll be a wild card team. I would say those are my two favorite teams this year. The only thing I worry about the Blues, again, is just figuring out the goalkeeping. Binghamton probably not going to have as good a year. Allen hopefully has a better year. But I like the Avalanche to come out of the West, man. I think they're that good this year. And I think that they just, as long as Grubauer doesn't get hurt and still hold strong, I think that they are the best team in the West. Ty, who is your Stanley Cup pick this year?
I am picking the Vegas Golden Tampa Bay Lightning to beat the Vegas Golden Knights. No, strike that, reverse it. Golden Knights are going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 7 games. That's my pick.
Joe?
Toronto Maple Leafs are going to beat the Nashville Predators, and they're going to win in 7 games.
I am going to go the Colorado Avalanche over the Toronto Maple Leafs in the NHL Finals this year. Yeah, I think Toronto is going to be the team that comes out.
The Nazem Kadri Cup.
Yeah, seriously, exactly. Right? The Nazem Kadri Cup. Guys, any other, before we kind of wrap up here, because I think that's, I mean, we can talk about the awards too, but I don't think there's, I think that we can save that for another day.
And I got to be on with the Vulture in 8 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Oh, yeah. Perfect. So, any surprises, any teams you think, any surprises this year in the league? Anyone comes out of the, you know, anyone comes out of nowhere? Any team you think that should be good is going to suck? Anyone you like for the rookie of the year or MVP?
Yeah, well, tell me about Jack Hughes, any of these other, Kaiko?
Kaapo Kakko.
Tell us about some of these guys.
So Jack Hughes, if he plays with Gusev, he could be a serious point producer this year. Especially, you watch him in the power play in the preseason. The way he moves is remarkable. So that's a guy to watch, absolutely. Kakko's going to start in the top six. It's a matter of can he hang there. You know, this is the Bruins did this with Sagan. You know, his first year, he was in the top six. By the end of the year, he was in the fourth line and a healthy scratch. So it's about sustaining it, right? Can he sustain it? So I like them. I would say for the Calder, Cale Makar is my guy, man. I mean, he is going to rack up points left and right. You look at what Tyson Barrie did in Colorado. If Cale Makar can match that, you're talking about a 40 to 50 point defenseman as a rookie, logging top four on a contending team. That will get him a lot of eyes and a lot of views and a lot of voting consideration. One team that I think could surprise people, we don't want to say Florida because Florida has, they made all the moves to surprise. So I would say the Chicago Blackhawks. I just think that a lot of people have written them off completely, thinking the window's closed. But again, if you have a 1-2 punch in net and you can get Kane to be back where he has been for his whole career, and DeBrincat takes that next step, that could be a playoff team. Another one, Arizona. If Antti Raanta,
we never touched on them. We never even touched on them.
But if Antti Raanta is healthy, that is a playoff team. But the problem is he's already hurt to begin the year, so I don't believe in them like I want to.
Arizona 90.5 points. We never touched on them. I completely forgot to do that. Over under? No, we didn't. Over under 90.5 points for the Coyotes.
I'm going under because of Raanta.
Gotcha. Yeah, I agree. I don't think Ronta's very good. I think and Cooper sucks. But everything else is great. I mean, adding Kessel, I think, is going to be a big help to that team. Ty, thanks for joining us, man. Honestly,
thank you for adding any insight whatsoever. Because you see how excited this kid was.
I love it. This is fun.
Me and Ty talk hockey. I mean, I can talk hockey.
Yeah,
all day.
It. I mean, I watch it, but you guys know it. So I'm glad we had an expert in here.
Yeah, no, the Maple Leafs already up 7-0 since I've been sitting here. Is that like a thing that's been happening?
Last
I checked, they were losing 1-0.
Really? Wow. Against Ottawa. Maybe Ottawa's going to be the surprise team. We're not even talking about them. Who knows? Night one.
1-0 Ottawa right now. Wow. Period.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah,
really appreciate
this
it.
This will be on tape, Ty. So
I can't wait. I'm going to get yelled
back
at
later in the air and be like, oh, you like this team and that team.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds like he is big on
it. I think we should bring Ty in for the playoffs, too. I think we should do that because the thing is, Ty, I don't know if you know, but we've been fucking killing the downloads and then the listens, you know, in the past.
I know. You guys said I was going to be on this, and I got like a bunch of followers. And I'm like, oh, they're going to hate all my takes.
No, I don't think they are. I think they're going to hate my Bruins takes.
People are going to write down all the stuff, and then at the end of the year, they're going to praise you or they're going to tell you to sign.
I can't wait.
So let's hope it's more praise than sign.
Toronto just scored. It's 1-1 in the second. So, anyways, you've been listening.
Anyways, that is the over-under. There you go. Our thanks to Ty Anderson, 98.5thesportshub.com. Also, now co-hosting of the hockey show, which can be heard every Saturday morning from 9 to 11.
On 98.5thesportshub.
On 98.5thesportshub.com and on any app out there. But a huge addition to the hockey show as well. And, of course, you can find them all over the place at our home, 98.5thesportshub.com. For Ty Anderson, Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Mari. This has been Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.